Shalom to all. Today's Avos Shavuos Daf Mem Zayin. We're starting the third line of the two dots with the quote from the Mishnah. Hayushneim Chashudin. And today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now we're in the middle of discussing Mishnah's case where a guy wasn't allowed to make a Shavua, so we shift it to the other fellow who's able to be Nishba Benaitel. He makes a Shavua and he collects. Now the Mishnah had said that what if both of them are Chashud? Shneim Chashudin. And here we had a Machloikes. Rabbi Yosi said Chazor Shvuulim Kaima, which we're going to discuss a bit in the Gemara what this means. And Rav Meir said Yachloiku. They simply divide the amount which is under disagreement. Something Gemara tells us. How's it taught in the Mishnah? Meaning, is this really Rabbi Yosi and Rav Meir's opinions? Or maybe that's not really what they hold and we should switch their opinions around. So Amar Rav Nachman said to him, Lo Yadana, I don't know. Then he asked him, Hilchsamai, what's a halacha? Amar Rav Nachman responded, Lo Yadana, I don't know. And now Itmar was stated, Amar Rav Yosi Raman Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yosi Raman Yumi quoted Rav Nachman saying, Rabbi Yosi Amar Chalaku, it's Rabbi Yosi's Shita that they split the matter they're disagreeing about, not Rav Meir like we have in the Mishnah. Amachin Tan Rezvid Bar Yishaya also taught this, there Rabbi Yosi Aimer Yachloiku. Now, some say that this is what was said, Tani Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid taught that Amar Rabbi Shai said Rabbi Yosi Omer Yachloiku, Rabbi Yosi says Yachloiku, and Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Yumi, the Rabbi Yosi Bar Yumi said that Avad Rav Nachman of the Yachloiku, the Rav Nachman actually paskined in a case that came to him that they should just split this mount under disagreement. Now explain these words of Chazar Shvuulim Kaima, that the Shvuul goes back to its place. And the question is Lahechan Chazar, where does it go back to? What does that mean? The Shvuul goes back to its place. Both Amar Chashid to make a Shvuul, so it goes back to its place. Rav Ami answers Rabbi Zinsha Bavel Amru, a Rabbanim in Bavel said Chazar Shvuul Sinai, that the Shvuul goes back to Har Sinai, namely the Shvuul of Har Sinai of Loi Sigzal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish somebody who steals. That's what we mean, that we go back to the Shvua. In other words, Beis Din doesn't deal with this anymore. They just leave it in limbo, and we say, look guys, somebody's stealing from the other person. Remember, there's a Shvua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to punish somebody who steals from the other guy, and you guys have to work it out, but Beis Din doesn't deal with it. Whereas Rabbi Sein Shabbat Yisrael Amru, our Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael said, Chazar Shvua L'muchayiv La, that the Shvua goes back to the one who's really chayiv in it. Let's say it was a Shvua Modem Mikzas. So the way that it works is originally the guy's Modem Mikzas, he would have to make a Shvua. He's Chashad al Shvua, so it's shifted to the other guy, but the other guy's also Chashad al Shvua. So now we shift the Shvua back to the original guy, and we know that Mitoch Sheni Yachol Shav Mishalim, since he's not able to make a Shvua because he's Chashud, he has to pay up. Now our Papa Rapop explains, Rabbi Zinsha Bavel, Rav Shmuel. When we say our Rabbanim and Bavel, that's referring to Rav and Shmuel, and when we say Rabbi Zinsha Beretz Yisrael, Rif Abba, that's referring to Rav Abba. Now how do we know this? Rabbi Zinsha Bavel, Rav Shmuel, did not. Our Mishnah says, Vechena Yisoyimim, Loi Parol Beshvua, Yisoyimim also, that they're only able to collect if they make a Shvua. Vavino Bon, we ask on this, Miman, who are they collecting from that they would have to make a Shvua? Ilema Mi Loive, if you want to say they're collecting from the Loive, that means that their father Ruvain had lent Shimon money, and now the Yisoyim of Ruvain are collecting this money from Shimon. How does it make sense they would have to make a Shvua? Of one Shakabalai Shvua, of Inu B'Shvua, their father Ruvain would have collected from Shimon without having to make a Shvua, so they have to make a Shvua when they collect from Shimon. Elohachikam Ramazmi, this is what the Mishnah is saying, Vechena Yisoyimim, Minha Yisoyimim, Lo Yiparel B'Shvua. As when Yisoyim of Ruvain are collecting from the Yisoyim of Shimon, then they're only able to collect with a Shvua. Whereas Rav Shmuel, Dar Mishavayu, Rav and Shmuel both say, Lo Yishonu El Shmeis Malva B'Chai Loive. That's only if the Malva had died in the lifetime of the Loive, meaning Ruvain had died while Shimon was still alive. So then when the Yisoyim of the Malva want to collect from the Yisoyim of the Loive, they would have to make a Shvua. That's because even if the Loive was still alive, they would have to make a Shvua to the Loive, so they would make a Shvua to the Yisoyim of the Loive. Aval Meis Loive B'Chai Malva. But if the Loive had died when the Malva was alive, meaning if Shimon had died when Ruvain was alive, then it's different, because Kvarnes Chayiv Malva B'nei Loive Shvua, the Malva himself would have had to make a Shvua to the sons of the Loive if he wants to collect from them, Ve'ein Ad Amar Shvua L'banav, and a person can't be Meirish a Shvua to his kids. In other words, when the Loive dies, leaving the Malva to collect from his Yisoyimim, the Malva would have to make a Shvua to them that he did not yet collect payment from their father. And then the problem is that when the Malva himself dies, his kids can't make that same Shvua that our father never collected this debt. The only thing they would be able to say is that our father never told us that this debt was paid. Now that's a different Shvua than their father would have had to make, as that means that the Yisoyimim of the Malva are not able to make any sort of Shvua. And the Yisoyimim of the Loive as well can't swear that their father did pay, because how are they supposed to know that? So we're at an impasse and nothing happens. Yasmi Malva don't swear and Yasmi Loive don't pay. And that's exactly what Rav Ami quoted Rabbi Seinu Shebavel saying, the Chazah Shvua, the Sinai, the Shvua goes back to Sinai, namely, we just leave it as is and no one has to pay. Can you explain, Rabbi Seinu Shebaret Yisrael, Rabbi Abba, the Rabbi Seinu Shebaret Yisrael, that's referring to Rabbi Abba. How do we know this? There was a fellow who grabbed a piece of silver from his friend. This is the famous case of Nasr Rabbi Abba, which we had previously, and it comes up in other Mesechtes as well. Also, Kamei Rabbi Ami came to Rabbi Ami, Yasr Rabbi Abba Kamei, Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of Rabbi Ami, and Isi Chad Sada, one aide came along that said, the Mechtav Chatvi Minei, that yes, he did grab the piece of silver from the other guy. Amalisa, the fellow responds, In Chatvi Vidi Chatvi, you're right, I did grab it, but I grabbed my own piece of silver. He had previously taken the silver from me, and I was just grabbing back what was mine. And Amar Rav Ami said, how are Dayanu supposed to judge this case? Should we tell the grabber that he has to pay? Well, like a Trey Sadi, there aren't two Aiden that he grabbed it, and so we can't force him to pay. And so on the other hand, Niftre, you want to say that he's Patr completely? Well, like a Chad Sada, there's one aid that says that he did grab it, and we know that one aid is able to be Mechayiv Shvua, but we also have a problem over here, because Neymalay Zil Shtaba, do you want to tell the grabber that he has to swear? That can't be either, because Kimid Amar Mechtav Chatvi, Havalei Kigazlan, since he admitted that he grabbed it, he's like a gazlan. In other words, we know that Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua. What Shvua is he Mechayev? The guy has to contradict the Eid Echad. So the Beryl says, I don't owe the money. The Eid Echad says, you do. Beryl makes a Shvua to contradict the Eid Echad that I don't owe the money. But over here, the grabber can't make that Shvua because he would have to make a Shvua to contradict the Eid Echad and say, I did not grab it, but he himself admitted that he grabbed it. And so therefore, in regards to that Shvua, he's considered a liar and therefore he's not believed to make that Shvua. What do we do over here, says Rav Ami? Amar Rav Abba, Rav Abba told Rav Ami, have a Mechayev Shvua. He's technically Mechayev to make a Shvua, but Einu Yachol Shava, he's not able to swear. Anyone who has to make a Shvua, but he can't, he has to pay up. And so we clearly see the Rav Sinu Shebar Tisrael is Rav Abba. Now, Amar Rav, Rav says, Kavasi Rav Abba Mistabra, it's logical to say like Rav. The Tanya Rav Ami taught in Nebraisa, we have a pasuk that says, Shvua Hashem Tia Ben Shneim, a Shvua of Hashem should be between the two of them, meaning between the two litigants. And what does that tell us? Veloy Ben Yarshin, that the Shvua is not between Yarshim. It's not between Yarshe Reuven and Yarshe Shimon, rather it's in between the two litigants themselves. Now, Hechi Dami, what's the case over here? Elim, if you want to say, the Amr Lay, where one said a Yarshim tells the other one, Manal Abba Yadavicha, that my father has a money by your father, meaning my father lent your father a money, so you have to pay up. Amr Lay and the other Yusayim respond, Chamishin Isle, Chamishin Lesle, he owes 50, but the other 50 does not owe, Omalihu Maliavua. Then what's the difference between him or his father? This is considered a Tainas Bari. He's Taining, yes, 100%, definitely my father owes you 50, and he definitely does not owe you the other 50. And there's a classic case of Shua Moide Mikhtas. Why would you say that there's no Shua over here? Elav, it must be, the Amr Lay Manal Abba Yadavicha, as a Ruvain's son, Tainas the Shimon's son, your father owes my father a money. And Amr Lay Shimon's son responds, Chamshin Yodana, Chamshin Loyodana, 50 I know about, but the other 50 I simply don't know about. And it's in that case that there's no Shvua between them. And Memzano Mabez on top, we further clarify, if you want to say that in this situation, if the father would have Tainud, yes, 50 I owe you, but 50 I simply don't know about. So in that case, he would have to pay because he's not able to make a Shvua due to the fact that he says, I don't know. So he can't make a Shvua about the 50 if he doesn't know about it. Therefore, he would have to pay up. It's a Chol Mifta Gabi Yarshin. That's what we need to pass like the pot to the Yarshin from paying. Eli Yamrit, Aviv Kiai Gavna Nami Potter. But if you want to say that even the father himself in this case would be Potter, so Krog Gabi Yarshin normally, what we need to pass like by the Yarshin for? There's no reason to have a pasuk to tell us that the Yarshin don't have to pay if their father himself wouldn't have had to pay. So it must be the father would have to pay in this case because of the Svar of Abba, Mitach Shani Yachal Ishava, Mishalim, since he's not able to swear, he pays. Now, Rav Shmuel, Hashvas Hashem, Maika Darshibe, what would Rav Shmuel darshan at this pasuk, Shvas Hashem? Because the way we just darshaned it clearly shows not like them. What would they do with it? The answer is, Yubai Lechetanya, they need it for something totally different for a brice that we have somewhere else. The Shem and Tarfan Oimer, Shem and Tarfan says that the pasuk tells us, Shvas Hashem, Tia Ben Shnehen. What do we learn from here? Malamit Shashvua Chal Al Shnehem. This teaches us that the Shvua is Chal on both of them. We had this earlier in the Masechta. In other words, when a person makes a false Shvua, it's not just him that we're blaming, it's also the guy who caused him to make the false Shvua. He's also partially to blame because he got involved in a transaction with somebody who's not trustworthy, which Mamela led that guy to make a false Shvua. So even the guy who didn't make the false Shvua, the Toivea, he's partially to blame for that. That's what we're learning out of the pasuk, Shvua Hashem Tia Bein Shnehem, that the blame for this false Shvua goes on both of them, and therefore the original drasha of this pasuk is not a question of Rav and Shmuel because they learn it like Shimon ben Tarfon does. Now, once we brought up Shimon ben Tarfon, we have a few other members from him. Shimon ben Tarfon says, As Har Lo Oikev Acher Noif Minayin, how do we know of a love for a person who's Oikev Acher Noif? A Noif is an adulterer, and the Oikev Acher Noif literally means the guy who follows him, but he's really the Noif's agent. He's the one who finds women to do Averis with the Noif. Where do we see a love for this guy? Tom Lemitz, because the pasuk says, Loisanif, which literally means don't commit adultery, but the drasha is Loisanif, which means don't cause adultery to be done, and that's this guy we're talking about, even though he himself is not being Arvid Avera, he's helping the Noif, so he's under this love as well. Another drasha from Shimon ben Tarfon, the pasuk says, V'taragnu Ba'aleichem, this one Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musar to Am Yisrael for blaspheming or slandering Hashem in their tents. This is in regards to the Meraglim's negative report about Eretz Yisrael. And Shimon Tarfon Omer, he explains that what's this word about Teragnu? It's actually an acronym. That Tartem, you spied out the land, V'ginisem Ba'al Oishel Makayim, and you degraded the tent of Hashem. That's about Teragnu, Tartem V'ginisem, the tent of Hashem. Another drasha, the pasuk tells us in regards to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Ad Nahar Gadol Nahar Pras, until the great river, the Pras River, the Euphrates. And we know that the river Pras is actually the fourth, which means the least chashiv out of all the ones that are mentioned that come out of Eden. And here we're calling it Nahar HaGadol, the great river. How to get this name that it's great? And on this Shimon Tarfon Omer, he tells us, Krav L'gabi Dehina V'idhan, come close to the person who's anointed with oil and you'll be anointed. In other words, if you touch a person who has oil on him, you're going to get oil on you. Same thing, even though as we just said, the Nahar Pras is the least chashiv of these four rivers that come out of Eden. Since it's one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it automatically gets called Nahar HaGadol because it's chus of being the border of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe Shmuel, Tana, the Beis Medrash Shmuel was taught something very similar, Evid Melech Kemelech, that the Evid of a king is just like a king, he gets honor like the king himself, and that's the way that they said in the Beis Medrash Rebbe Shmuel, describing how we're calling Pras the Nahar HaGadol. We can explain the Mishnah of Chanami al-Bakasa v'chulu, that the Chanami, the storekeeper, the Makolek guy, when he has written down in his notebook that so-and-so owes me money, we believe him to make a Shvua and collect that. Now the Mishnah clarified, it's not simply where he says, look customer, you owe me money because I wrote it down, that he's believed to make a Shvua and collect. And that's because there has to be, there's reglaim ledover, there's some sort of reason why the customer would owe him the money. And that's why the Mishnah establishes a case where the customer had told the chenveni to give money or goods to workers and that he would reimburse the chenveni. The chenveni claims, I paid them. They claim we never received anything. And that's a situation where the chenveni is believed with a shvua. Now, it's important to note over here, Rashi points out that the chenveni has the right not to believe the workers with a shvua because he can tell the Baal Bayis, the customer, you never told me to pay them in front of Edim, so you clearly trust them, but I don't need to trust them with a shvua. And the workers could claim that they don't need to believe a shvua from the chenveni because their issue is with the Baal Bayis, not with the chenveni. Therefore, what do we say in the Mishnah? That both of them, the chenveni and the workers, swear to the Baal Bayis and they both get to collect. Now, remember, Benanis in the Mishnah had said, how could we do this? Definitely somebody over here is going to be lying. Somebody's making a false shvua, either the chenveni or the workers, and therefore both of them are not going to make a shvua. So it's on this case that the Gemara tells us, Tanya v'Braisa, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, Har shvua zu lama. What's the point of this whole tircha? Why are we bringing both of them to Bezin to have both of them swear when definitely one of them is lying? And this seems very similar to Benanis. And so the question is, what does Rebbe hold like? Is he agreeing to Benanis that no shvua is made or no? So Amar Rebbe, Chia told Rebbe, Tanino, we learned in our Mishnah, Shneim Nishbaim v'Noitlim v'Baal Bayis. They both make a shvua and they take from the Baal Bayis. And so we see Beferish in the Mishnah that they both have to make a shvua, and that's what the Psak must be. So the Gemara continues asking, Kibble Minei, you like Kibble Minei? Did Rebbe accept this svar from Rav Chia or no? So the answer is, Tashma, we have a Braisa, the Tanya, it says, Beferish, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Poilin Nishbaim l'chenveni, the Poilin make a shvua to the chenveni that they did not receive any money from him, and then they get to collect. Now, Vim Esau, if you want to say that Rebbe did accept Rav Chia's statement that it said Beferish in the Mishnah that both of them make a shvua, then the Baal Bayis me violate. Rebbe should have said in this Braisa that the Poilin make a shvua to the Baal Bayis, because that's what it says in the Mishnah, and by the fact that Rebbe did not say that. Rather, he said the Poilin make a shvua to the chenveni, it must be that Rebbe did not accept this member from Rav Chia. However, Amar Rav, Rav says, that's not a raya. We can say this is what Rebbe was saying. Poilin mishbaim l'baal bayis, b'maimid chenveni, the Poilin make a shvua to the Baal Bayis in front of the chenveni, not they make a shvua to the chenveni, as they make a shvua to the Baal Bayis in front of the chenveni, and the reason why that would be is k'yechad l'chsvu minei, so they should be embarrassed of him, meaning they should be embarrassed to make a false shvua if they're taka lying. We want them to be making the shvua in front of the chenveni that they never received anything from him, but again, they're not making the shvua to the chenveni, they're making it to the Baal Bayis, and therefore it's very possible that Rebbe does agree with Reb Chia's quote of the Mishnah that the shvua is being made to the Baal Bayis and not to the chenveni. So no raya from here. The Gemara now discusses something else and is going to bring our Mishnah into it. Itmar was stated, Shtei kite edim achisha zezu. We have two groups of edim that are contradicting each other. One group of edim say that Reuven killed Shimon. The other group of edim say that Reuven did not kill Shimon. Now for sure, one of them is lying. We just don't know which one of them it is. So Amar Rav Huna says, Zuba b'fnas m'mida, Zuba b'fnas m'mida. Each set of edim can come separately to give edus regarding something else, and we don't say, oh, this is the group that's the liar, so we don't trust them. As long as group one or group two are giving edus separately regarding something else, that's totally fine. We're not able to take one aid from group one and one aid from group two and pair them together because one of them definitely came from a group that the aid them were liars. But as long as group A and group B are testifying separately regarding something else, we're going to believe each of them on their own. However, Rav Chizda says, Bahadi Sadi Shakri Lamali, what do I need these lying aid them for? In other words, Rav Chizda argues and holds that even each set of aid them alone is suspected to be the liars and we're not going to trust them. So I'm going to have four different cases about this. Shnei Malvin, Ushnei Levin, Ushnei Shtaris, Hainu Pluktayu. If we have two lenders, two borrowers, and two separate Shtaris, on Shtar 1, group A signed, and Shtar 2, group B signed, that is this machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chizda. Rav Huna says each set of edim is believed separately, and since it's two separate stars, two different malvin, two different leivin, so each star is fine by itself. Whereas Rav Chizda says that no, we don't trust either set of edim, so both stars are no good. On to case number two, malva v'loive v'shnei stars. We have the same malva, the same loive. Reuven lent Shimon money, but in two separate stars. One star was, let's say, $100, the other star was $50, and we have our two sets of edim. One of them signed on one star, one of them signed on the other star. So over here we have an agreement between Rav Huna Rav Chizda, Yad Baal Shara Tachlona, the guy who has the star, the malva, Reuven, he has a lower hand over here. That's because even Rav Chizda agrees to Rav Huna that we're definitely not going to apostle both sets of edim. One of them is for sure kosher, one of them is for sure apostle. But since we don't know which one is which, the malva is only able to collect the shtar that has a lower amount, because that amount he's for sure owed, so only gets 50. Now we have a third case, so we're going to be focusing only on Shitas Rav Huna over here. Shnei malva and v'loive echad, two people lending money to the same loive. So Reuven and Shimon both lent money to Levi, Ushnei shtaris, that's obviously on two separate shtaris, where group one signed on one and group two signed on the other. Haina Masnis, in that same case, our Mishnah, with the Baal Bayis considered like the loive, because we have the chenveni and the poilin both claiming money from him, and we said in the Mishnah that they both can make a shvua and collect from the Baal Bayis. Same thing over here, according to Rav Huna, even though one set of edim is for sure liars, we don't know which one it is, and these two stars are coming from two separate lenders. Therefore, when we look at each star on its own, we say, okay, it's very possible that your star is correct, it's very possible your star is correct, and you're not the one that has the false edim, and therefore they both make a shvua and collect from the loive. Now we move on to our fourth case, also she's Rav Huna, Beis Loivin, Umalva Echad Ushnei Shtaris. We have two borrowers with the same lender, and again, two separate stars, each one signed by one of these groups of edim. My, what's it then in this case? Would Rav Huna say that since it's two stars coming from the same malve, I'm for sure one group of edim is not able to be trusted, so therefore we have to apostle both stars? Or do we say that since he lent money made two separate Leivin, so technically we could have each group of Edim coming on their own to Beis Din without the other one, and as Rav Huna said, that we're going to believe each one of them individually, so maybe over here he would be able to collect. Then we're going to close Teku, let the question stand, and we're going to have to wait for Eliyahu Navi to come and answer it. We just continue this for a little bit. Mazar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda asks on Shitas Rav Chisda, this is one of these sets of Edim are not trustworthy, so we're not going to believe either of them. We have a Bais who discusses Edos of Kiddush HaChodesh, namely when we have Edim coming to the Beis HaMikdash to testify that they saw the new moon in order to establish Rosh Chodesh, and we have a discrepancy between their Edos. The Bais says, one of them says that the moon was 2 merdais high in the sky. In other words, it was very low, it was near the horizon, and when I looked at it from my standpoint, says the aide, it looked like it was 2 merdais above the ground. A merdas is an ox goad, that's the pointed stick that you push oxen along with, and he said it was about 2 ox goads high off of the ground. Whereas the other aide said, shalosh, it was 3. Edus kayamas, it's valid eidos, because a small discrepancy like this makes sense, and we don't say that one of them is lying. Whereas Echad Omer Gimel, Echad Omer Hey, if one of them said it was 3 above the ground, the other one said it was 5 above the ground, Edus Batela, their Edus is batel, because for sure one of them is lying. It's impossible to have a discrepancy of 2 merdais between the two of them, and therefore one of these guys is lying, their whole Edus is batel. However, when we start from Edus Acheres, we are mitstarf them to another Edus. And now here's the question, my level Edus Mamon, don't we say that we're mitstarf them for Edus Mamon? In other words, even though one of these Edim is a liar, we're going to allow each one of them to individually pair up with somebody else to give Edus about a monetary case in Beis Din, which means that we do trust the Edim when they're on their own and they're not with that original aid, that one of them is for sure lying. So you clearly see, not like you, Rav Chisda. So on this, Amarav, he answers, that's not how I understand the Braisa. When we say that he and somebody else could combine for another Eidos, it means another Eidos of Rosh Chodesh itself. That means it's 2 against 1, and then we don't listen to the words of 1 over 2. In other words, when this Braisa tells us that when we have a discrepancy between the Edim, one of them says it was 3, the other one says it was 5, so one of them is for sure a liar, that Eidusin Betela, their Eidos is Batal, and we're going to combine them with somebody else, it means that we could take one of these Edim and then combine them with a third aid who agrees with him, who says that either it was 3 or that it was 5, and that means that we have 2 Edim one way, 1 aid the other way, and obviously we believe the 2 over the 1, and that's what we're referring to, so it's not a question on Rav Chisda. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.